is Megan Munn, who is a second-year Master of Public Health student at the Virginia Commonwealth University. She worked in the medical device design industry and in education before becoming interested in public health, especially epidemiology. She currently works as a research assistant for her department and as a statistical analyst for the Virginia Department of Health.
Thank you. Yes, I'm actually now working in Seattle as a CSTE fellow at this Public Health Seattle King County, but this research was I conducted in Virginia when I was at the VDH and at VCU. So I'd like to thank Dr. Cohen, who's in the audience, for his help with this, and also Dr. Pugsley, who's also helped with this with the VDH. So I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. So gonorrhea caused by the bacterium Neisseria gonorrhoeae is the second most commonly reported notifiable sexually transmitted disease in the United States, and approximately half of all gonorrhea cases are not reported, primarily due to asymptomatic patients who don't get tested or treated. And in 2011, while over 300,000 cases were reported to the CDC, it's estimated that the true disease burden lies around somewhere around 800,000 cases annually. There are many risk factors associated with gonorrhea infection, including individual-level risk factors, such as having unprotected sex, having multiple sex partners, and engaging in anonymous sex. Recent research has also looked at community-level factors that are involved with gonorrhea morbidity, including physical deterioration of neighborhoods, socioeconomic deprivation, and income distribution. And finally, untreated gonorrhea infection can lead to many serious health complications, including infertility, pelvic inflammatory disease, and increased risk of HIV infection. So in the early 2000s, the CDC created the STD Surveillance Network in order to improve the design of programs for the prevention and control of STDs. And the STD Surveillance Network, or SUN as it's known as, is a flexible and dynamic network composed of geographically diverse health departments all around the country. In 2008-2013, there were 12 health departments, including the Virginia Department of Health, which monitored morbidity in the Richmond metropolitan area. And there's two main components of SUN. First, there's the STD clinic surveillance, in which patients visiting a clinic can fill out a survey. And then there's also the Neisseria gonorrhea population surveillance, in which phone interviews are conducted with patients who've been recently diagnosed with gonorrhea, and where they're asked detailed questions about demographics, health history, and risk behaviors. And my primary responsibility at the VDH was to conduct these patient interviews. So for this project, we used data from the NG population surveillance activities at the VDH from January 1st, 2010 through December 31st, 2012. And our analysis were limited only to the city of Richmond, Virginia. The individual data, individual-level data elements that we had for all patients were latitude and longitude of their residence to facilitate spatial analysis. We also had routine reporting data, so age, sex, and race. For patients who completed the enhanced interview, we had detailed demographics, health history, and sexual risk behaviors. So Richmond, Virginia is the capital of the Commonwealth of Virginia, located in the central part of the state. It has a population of just over 210,000 people. The median income is around $39,000. Approximately half of the population is Black or African American, just under 6% is Hispanic, and just over 26% live below the federal poverty line. And one of the reasons why Richmond was selected as a SUN site is because it has historically high rates of gonorrhea. In 2011, the rate per 100,000 in Richmond was about 309. In Virginia as a whole, it was about 82. The United States, it was around 104. And just for comparison, for Boston, it was about 43. So our community-level data came from the U.S. Census Bureau, which divides Richmond, Virginia, into 161 block groups, which is the smallest geographical unit for which statistics are available. In particular, we are interested in the population and age distribution in order to calculate the at-risk population, which we defined as ages 14 and up. We also looked at other community-level variables, such as the percent of residents in the block group with less than a high school education, the percent of Black residents, the percent unemployment, and the percent living below the federal poverty level, and the percent of female-headed households. So I used Esri's ArcGIS version 10 software for spatial analysis. First, I geocoded all the cases of gonorrhea onto a map of Richmond City. I then used the population data to calculate block group specific morbidity rates. Then using the spatial analysis tools that are available in the software, I calculated the Moran's index, which determined if the data was clustered, random, or dispersed. And if clustering was indicated, I used the Geddes or G-star, which located hotspots or areas of high morbidity and compared to the rest of the city. So if I did find high morbidity clusters, I used bivariate analysis to compare cases that live within the high morbidity clusters and also the block groups that comprise these clusters to the rest of the city. Then I built multivariate logistic regression models using the backwards manual elimination procedure, first to look at individual factors that were associated with living in a high morbidity cluster, and then to look at the characteristics of the block groups themselves to see if they were different than block groups in the rest of the city. So between January 1st, 2010 and December 31st, 2012, there were 1,911 gonorrhea cases reported to the VDH. 57% were female, the mean age was about 24, and the overwhelming majority was non-Hispanic black. We completed almost 700 interviews. For those people, we have more detailed information. So just the majority were heterosexual, just over half were unemployed. About 55% reported only one sex partner in the past 3 months, as opposed to two or more partners. 14% reported having anonymous sex within the past year, and 5% reported using the internet to find sex partners, and about 10% reported any type of illicit drug use in the past year. So here are our age-adjusted morbidity rates, and these are all per 1,000 population. Again, our at-risk population is ages 14 and up. So as you see the western sides of the city, you see more of the blues and greens, which indicates lower rates, and as you move to the eastern and northern parts of the city, you see more of the yellows, oranges, and reds, which indicate higher morbidity rates. So using the ArcGIS software, the Moran's index found significant clustering existed within the data, and the Geddes or G-star detected two significant high morbidity clusters. And I compared these clusters to one another, and they had very similar characteristics, so they were analyzed together for this analysis. So here are our two high morbidity clusters, one on the north side of the city and the other on the south side of the city. Together, they were comprised of 36 block groups and captured about 35% of the patient population. And there also was no difference between the number or percent of interviews, enhanced surveillance interviews that we conducted with patients living in these clusters compared to those in the rest of the city. So looking at our community-level variables, block groups in our high-morbidity clusters had significantly higher percentages of all of our community-level variables of interest, and all of these were compared using independent two-sample t-tests, and they were all highly significant. However, when we looked at the distribution of the data overall, all the variables were very skewed, so we ended up categorizing them to facilitate our modeling into low and high groups, and that was based on the median values. So this is the percent of block groups that fall above the median value for each community-level variable, so in the high group. And as you can see, the overwhelming majority of block groups within the high morbidity clusters were also in the highest median for all of these different census-level variables. So the results of our multivariate logistic regression analysis found that block groups with higher percentages of residents in poverty, black residents, and female-headed households were more likely to be associated with living in a high, or with the block group being in a high morbidity cluster compared to those within the lower section of all those groups. Our individual level analysis found that patients within the high morbidity clusters were also had very distinct characteristics. They were more likely to be female, black or African American, unemployed, without a high school education. They also reported recent incarceration of themselves or their sex partner. And they also reported only one sex partner in the past 3 months. So when we did the modeling for this, we found that age, race, lower levels of education, and having an incarcerated partner were all associated with an increased risk of a patient living in the high morbidity cluster, while using the internet to find sex partners and having multiple sex partners were all associated with a decreased risk of living in the high morbidity clusters. So this research found significant differences in the population characteristics of patients who lived in these high morbidity clusters compared to the rest of the city. In addition, it also found significant differences in these block groups themselves that comprise these clusters when compared to block groups throughout the rest of the city. So not only did it locate these areas where the morbidity is significantly elevated, it also then described the patient's population within these areas. And it's my hope that these results can be used then to develop targeted interventions that can be aimed at the population at risk in these high morbidity clusters. And this way, we can use our public health resources more efficiently and effectively to reduce gonorrhea morbidity. Interestingly, we found that significantly fewer patients who lived in these high morbidity clusters were diagnosed at STD clinics compared to patients in the rest of the city. And this is despite the fact that patients can receive testing and treatment at STD clinics for no cost to the individual. It's probably because the only STD clinic in Richmond, Virginia is located several miles from the high morbidity clusters, and in addition, it's only open on limited days and hours per week, which reduces access for all patients. So I think that we should expand STD clinic services in the high morbidity cluster, either by opening satellite clinics in these two areas or extending clinic hours and maybe providing bus vouchers to people so they can actually get there. And by increasing access to healthcare services in these high morbidity areas, we can allow patients to be diagnosed and treated faster, thereby reducing the overall disease burden. And a recent report released by the CDC identified drug-resistant Neisseria gonorrhea as one of the urgent public health threats that requires immediate public health action in order to combat. So this research did have several limitations. First, not all patients could be contacted for a phone interview, and this is primarily due to inaccurate contact information or late reporting by providers. Also, the only community-level variables we looked at were those available from the U.S. Census. I would have liked to look at like crime statistics to see if violence had any effect in gonorrhea morbidity. And also because we used surveillance data, these results can't be generalized to the city population as a whole, but they are applicable to our case population. The major strengths of this study include the use of enhanced surveillance data, so we have more detailed demographics and health risk behaviors for each patient. And it also greatly contributes to public health efforts by locating and describing these high morbidity clusters of patients so that we can use public health resources to reduce gonorrhea morbidity. I'd like to thank everyone at the Division of Epidemiology at VCU and also everyone at the Division of Disease Prevention at VDH for their help with this project. And any questions?
In the back.
We did.
Repeat the question.
Oh, okay. The question was about if we looked at co-infection with chlamydia. And yes, that was, we did look at that. We had that information for a good percent of our population. And I don't think there was any significant differences between people who lived in the more high morbidity clusters and those who lived in other areas of the city. I think overall it was about like 34-35% were co-infected overall. But yeah, that was something we looked at, but it just wasn't. You know, we looked at a lot of things, and these are the interesting ones. So, there was no significant difference. So, we didn't. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Yes.
These interventions that you say you have plans to and ways to allocate resources from the VDH to one STD clinic, is it?
In the city of Richmond, there's one STD clinic. Yes. The question was about if we were looking at anything for sex education to prevent infection, right? Okay. Sure, and I think that the results of the study can definitely be used to develop interventions aimed at prevention and also trying to get these people into treatment. So I think it can be, you know, used from both ends to be able to develop things for that because, you know, as we said, we already have this idea of the patient population who resides in these clusters who are at risk of gonorrhea infection. And, you know, so we could use these results to design different interventions that are aimed more at the prevention side rather than the treatment side.
Yes, sir.
What's the alternative health networks that exist? Any picture of that one study that you developed, other than the health department, other than the FPD clinic, I mean, that could potentially provide services in these areas?
So the question was about alternatives to the STD clinics that exist. Most of the patients in this study overall were diagnosed at the emergency department. So that is, you know, I guess the other provider of healthcare services. There's also, you know, some urgent care facilities, like kind of the walk-in urgent care facilities, and also, family planning clinics or OBGYNs were also a large diagnoser, but mostly it was the people who either went to the ED or to the STD clinics. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you.
Are there any questions for any of the presenters? Okay. In that case, we are adjourned. Thank you all very much.